So today we hear this wonderful story on this third Sunday of Easter, the story of Jesus appearing to the two travelers on the road to Emmaus. This is one of my favorite Bible passages. Not only is it a beautiful and surprising story about these two people's experience of the risen Christ that occurs on the very day of the resurrection, but it is a text that has deep meaning in its rich representation of the Christian life. Luke is doing a lot in this text besides telling us about two people walking along the road. The story itself mirrors the journey that the travelers have from despair at the death of Jesus and confusion over what the point of it all was to faith in his resurrection. The distance they travel in this afternoon's walk and meal with a stranger reflects perhaps what for us would be the span of years or an entire lifetime. And yet, as they discern together about the meaning of what they have witnessed or heard about, Jesus is there, walking with them and opening the scriptures to them before revealing himself at the table. While we are right now 2 weeks after Easter, in the story Luke is telling us, the events are happening on that same day. Jesus was just crucified on Friday, and just this morning, the women have gone to the tomb and found it empty. They've been told by angels that Jesus is alive. They go to tell the others, but not everyone believes them, including, it seems, these two travelers walking to Emmaus. They were talking about the morning's events, and we can imagine that they were discussing whether or not this story could be true and wondering what was going to happen next for the people who had followed and believed in Jesus. They said as much to Jesus when he asked them what they were discussing. We had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. But maybe he wasn't, because now he's dead, even though these women said he's not. And we don't know what to do now. And of course, here they are telling the story of Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection to Jesus himself, and they don't even recognize him. Although we do get the disclaimer that they were somehow prevented from recognizing him, so maybe we can give them a break. But maybe he looked different enough that they couldn't see who he was. But this unrecognition plays an important role in the story. It is a way of showing us the uneasiness they have with this unbelievable story of Jesus' resurrection. How can they continue to believe in the mission of this rabbi that seemed so powerful, but has gotten himself killed and whose body has now gone missing? They had hoped he would redeem Israel, but they don't see at all how this tragedy could have happened. They are stuck in the ways of the world they are in. They need Jesus to demonstrate to them from the scriptures how what has happened was God's plan of mercy and love for the world, that Jesus is indeed alive, which the two finally realize when they invite him to stay and share a meal. And they realize finally that he has been with them all along. And through Jesus teaching to them from a new perspective, in light of what has just happened in Jerusalem, that the scriptures have foretold that Jesus was and is the Messiah, and that he has indeed fulfilled the promises conveyed in the scriptures as they had been led to believe, just not in the way they expected. They go then and proclaim this to the rest of their group. So there are a couple things about this text that I think are really amazing. Firstly, that Luke so masterfully in this short story models for us the way in which we encounter Jesus every week in worship. We live through the week with our joys and our struggles. We gather on Sunday as a community to learn, perhaps in Sunday school or Bible study or a discussion with our friends, and we hear the word in worship. The scriptures are opened to us. We then share in the Eucharistic meal, the body and blood of Christ, the real presence of Christ among us. And then we are sent out after this meal to share our faith in the world, just as these two followers did. They have been through the traumatic experience of losing their teacher and friend and don't know how they will go on. They are then reassured by the teaching they hear from Jesus himself, whom they meet on the road. Jesus then reveals himself to them in the breaking of the bread, which then prompts them to go back out into the world to report the good news that he is risen. This is our order of worship. Secondly, Luke sets this story in the context of a journey. So much of Jesus' ministry occurs while he is traveling from one place to another. The metaphor of the journey as a movement from unknowing to knowing, from ignorance to understanding, from confusion to clarity, is one that illustrates well the process that we humans go through to understand ourselves and the world around us, the world and the community that has been created by God and that shapes us to be God's people, a people that is traveling together the road to the kingdom yet to come. We often think of life as a journey. It's a common saying. And we don't know who we will meet along the way that could make a difference in our lives. These two people walking to Emmaus, Cleopas and an unnamed person, welcomed this stranger to walk with them, and had they not, they would not have had the experience of Jesus that they did. When we have met Jesus, when have we met Jesus and welcomed him into our midst? Have we listened to the story that he or she has to tell? It's true also that we don't know how our life's journey is going to turn out, although we try our darndest to control all the variables, which makes it all the harder when things don't work out the way we think they should. I mean, just think about our lives during the COVID pandemic and how it affected our church life, which still hasn't returned to the way it was before, and maybe never will. We had hoped that everyone would come running back to church. We had hoped that children wouldn't have had to be online so much, and we're dealing with the consequences of that now. We may have hoped to do a lot of things that we couldn't do. We had hoped that so many would not have died. And yet we gather to hear the word each week, to share the meal, not just in hope, but in the assurance that Jesus lives and is among us, accompanying us along the way, that God does keep God's promises, and that while we don't know yet day to day what will happen to us, we can know that Jesus is walking with us on that road, lightening our burden, loving us, and forgiving us. And we have this community and our church community, the wider church, the community of fellow travelers in faith, to sustain us, to remind us, to love us, and to assist us in living out the faith that we have received from God and from our neighbors. We do not ever travel alone, and even though we may feel the grief of loss, loss of loved ones or other kinds of losses, what this story tells us is that there is hope, that we will see Jesus again. We can be more at peace if we let this assurance of love and of hope shape our living and relating to the people and the world around us. While I was writing this sermon, I remembered a scene from a movie I watched. It came out a few years ago called Nomadland, and I just rewatched it a few weeks ago. The main character is a woman named Fern who has lost her husband, her job, her home, and she's processing her grief by pulling up stakes and hitting the road in her retrofitted van. It's not a fancy RV with conveniences like a bathroom or heat, but it's her home on wheels. The only place she really feels comfortable. She becomes part of a community, a motley collection of people She meets at various gatherings and events as she travels around between seasonal jobs. Her fellow travelers are people of similar circumstances. They don't have much, they have problems they are leaving behind, or they just prefer the freedom of the road rather than being tied to one place. For some, they have no other place but their vans and RVs to live, and they stay on the road because they have to. There isn't any place they can put down permanent roots. Fern turns down offers to live a conventional life with friends or family. To her, this isn't really living life, and it reminds her of the past, a past that is gone for her. One man she meets, who actually is a real-life person who gives advice, he plays himself, and he's somebody who gives advice to this community of travelers. This man is called, his name is Bob, and he shares his tips and advice with the community for living on the road. At the end of the movie, Fern is having a conversation with him after the memorial service for a mutual friend who has died. And they talk about their reasons for living as they do. Bob shares what inspires him to keep going in his nomad lifestyle, and it is rooted in his grief over the loss of his son. And Bob gives this short monologue in the movie. He says, "I rarely ever talk about my son, but today would have been his 33rd birthday. And 5 years ago, he took his life, and I can still barely say that in a sentence. And for a long time, every day, the question was, how can I be alive on this earth when he is not? And I didn't have an answer. And those were some hard, hard days. But I realized that I could honor him by helping people and serving people. It gives me a reason to go through the day, and some days, that's all I've got. And out here, there are a lot of people our age, and inevitably, there's grief and loss, and a lot of them don't get over it either, and that's okay. One of the things I love most about this life is that there's no final goodbye. You know, I've met hundreds of people out here. I don't ever say a final goodbye. I always just say, I'll see you down the road. And I do. Whether it's a month or a year or sometimes years, I see them again. And I can look down the road and I can be certain in my heart that I'll see my son again." Whether the filmmakers intended it or not, I realized that this speech of Bob's was an expression of so much in this gospel text we read today. The grief of losing someone in a cruel way, the call to live in response to that, to honor their memory and remember their life, to live in service to others, even those who are broken, as Jesus did, and the assurance of faith sustained by the community that loves and supports us in our journey. And in this Easter season, we celebrate that assurance that Christ's resurrection gives to us, the assurance that we are loved more than we can imagine by a God who raises Jesus and us from the dead to be alive in Christ and to share that life with the world until such time that we are called to be with him forever. And so, friends in Christ, I'll see you down the road. Christ is risen. Amen.